What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
For over 30 years, Reg Emanuel Gray Real Estate Developers has kept the promise to provide beautiful homes in professionally managed communities. Today, we are proud to unveil our latest masterpiece, Reg Emanuel Satellite City, near East Legon Hills, Accra. A master-planned housing development, Reg Emanuel Satellite City boasts 10 gated communities with world-class estate management. Home ownership at Reg Emanuel Satellite City is now within your reach. With our flexible payment plan, you can make your dream home a reality. You can also call on us for flexible design options to match your unique lifestyle. Our commitment to you, as always, is to grow the value of your property by creating value for our communities. Invest in a property at Reg Emanuel Satellite City and be part of a great Ghanaian legacy. Reg Emanuel Gray, building for a lifetime, lasting through generations. Contact 050-999-9628 or 050-141-9091. Visit regemanualgray.com or our Facebook and Instagram pages for further information.
Issue of Dumso will draw insights from experiences in other parts of the continent, understanding how different countries have dealt with similar challenges and what lessons we can learn from them. Before we start the conversation, though, listen to this.
For the past 3 weeks to 4 weeks, they've been shedding load on a daily basis. Yesterday alone, they shed 530 megawatts. What we experienced yesterday and what we are experiencing this afternoon, we experienced it for 4 continuous years. And what are they telling us, Mr. Figa?
Maintenance issues going on. As I'm speaking to you, the Twin City plant in Takari is down for maintenance for I think about 20 something days, and we plowed through a few of the days. They are doing their best to come back on. So whenever that happens, that means you do not have a buffer. You have an exact amount of power that you are pumping into the system.
For all my guests on the show tonight, you can call us survivors. Yes, the black survivors and the Dumso survivors. So listen to the song from Bob Marley and the Wailers. And I want you to pay attention to the lyrics. When we come back, I'll introduce my guests for today's conversation. Yes, we are the survivors. My name is Maxwell Agbagba. And connecting me on the show tonight, we have Nanama Boateng. She's a Ghanaian, now living in the USA. We also have here with us in the studio, connecting with us in the studio, is Park Wisi Shandoff. He's a writer, journalist and an editor at Wesleyan TV. We also have Eyitope Kutei. It's a Nigerian journalist based in Nigeria, and we all know Nigeria has its own power issues. Dr. Edward Akanyambeke Jr. is the president of the Ghana Hotels Association, and we also have Senator Temba Daiwili a journalist, Dewili, a journalist based in South Africa. And then we also have Kwesi Botchwe, who is an activist and a law enthusiast. Let me welcome them to the show. Ladies, gentlemen, welcome to Ghana Connect, and thanks for connecting with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Thanks for having me too.
Great. Now, let me start from the studio with you, Parkwesi Shandoff. We have the Doomsaw Diary series running on Joy FM, on Joy News, on all our platforms. And I'm sure you've heard people share their own stories about how the intermittent, power supply, the erratic power supply situation is affecting them. I have my own, which is Doomsaw PTSD, Doomsaw Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. So usually when I'm at home and I've not ironed my clothes, I'm not comfortable, because I know there can be power outage at any point in time.
Right.
Yeah. And that gives me a lot of PTSD. Yeah. I don't know what you have in your Doomsaw Diary.
Of course, good evening to your very good self and all our listeners and my colleague discussants on this very subject. Just like all Ghanaians, I have also had my fair share of the insensitive treatment. I've not been happy over the period, and people very close to me have also felt the brunt of the entire situation. So, roundly and squarely, I would, of course, want to say that the circumstances have been extremely severe and highly unpleasant. I don't want to believe that this cough is even influenced by Doomsaw in any way. But yes, that's the point. I mean, the generality of the Ghanaian populace have not had it easy over the last couple of weeks. And it's an issue that is begging honesty. It's an issue that requires and demands a lot of healthy and truthful conversations. Unfortunately, it appears that those at the helm of affairs, those who are supposed to call the shots, the stewards and those that we have entrusted power to handle these issues, appear to be not just playing the ostrich. Of course, the dishonesty is part of the politics and a part of the world, but apart from their general conduct of dishonesty, there is also a certain unwillingness to address the situation, and that, Maxwell, is a very big concern for me. We report on it, we write about it, we see the lamentations and the series of, as it were, pleas, even on social media, how that people and everybody is campaigning and advocating for at least a timetable. Because when you have a timetable, then you can regulate your affairs properly. It would inspire and guide how you consume electricity at a particular point in time. But I mean, yeah, and as of now, nobody knows when they will be thrown into the dark. And it also has security implications. So by way of preliminary comments, let me say that indeed, it's a very unfortunate development.
How is it affecting you personally?
Well, personally, the effects have gotten to do with basically my work routines. Because, of course, the time I wake up and the time I sleep, and because of the nature of my job, I have to, for example, look very presentable. It's still the same issues of ironing, for example. You don't know when, and even ironing ahead of time.
And that gives you PTSD as well?
Well, not really, but ironing ahead of time does not even solve the situation, because you can iron ahead of time. If you wake up tomorrow and you feel you want to change your outfit, there is no opportunity if the light is not there, And I like to walk in the evenings too, very late in the night. I like to roam. Of course, I am ministerially inclined. I'm a preacher, let me put it that way, and because of that special dimension.
So affecting even your kingdom work?
Yeah, of course, because I do prayer walks. I do a lot of midnight prayers. But you see, now commuting from home to the prayer grounds in the evenings, you would now be thinking about the security implications, because the journey from my room to the prayer grounds, it's engrossed in darkness. It's affecting kingdom affairs as well.
That's an interesting perspective that you've introduced into this conversation. But let me connect with Nanama Boateng. She's a Ghanaian, but now living in the USA. Let me find out from you. Nanama, you are lucky. You're in the United States right now. You're in the US right now. Definitely not affected, by Doomsaw.
Yeah. Well, Doomsaw, that's my end,
How stable is, I mean, for people who have not been to the U.S. before, how stable is the power situation there?
I think it's very stable. I haven't even seen the bulbs flicker.
Wow.
But when I see it's about to rain, I'm not scared, because in Ghana, you know, when it's about raining, like, okay.
Yeah.
Lights are going to go also.
And your first instinct is to grab your charger. Yes. And charge your phone when it gets cloudy, because you know there'll be power outage.
Yeah, but when it begins to rain, I don't have that fear. I have to charge my phone. I have to do everything that needs electricity. So it's better out here as compared to Ghana.
Yeah. Mm. But tell me, what was it like? Did you ever experience the intermittent power supply when you were in Ghana, that situation? Because we've had it in times past. Did you experience it?
Yes, I have. So I've been talking to my friends, and I always say, in big 2024, we are still experiencing. We used to experience when we were in primary, in junior high school. I remember about 10 years ago, I used to experience doing so, and even during former President Kufuor's era, we still had doing so, and Mahama's era doing so, and Bernardo's era doing so. Like, yeah, so I experienced all these three before leaving.
Go to Eyitope in Nigeria. I want to be sure I'm pronouncing your name right, Eyitope.
Yeah. You're trying.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
What was what's the right pronunciation?
Eyitope.
Oh, Eyitope.
Yeah.
I don't know if you already are aware of this, that a lot of people in Ghana refer to Nigeria sometimes as Generator Republic. But now also, I think Ghana is gradually becoming a Generator Republic as well. Tell us, for Nigeria, what is the situation like in Nigeria? For many of my friends who I've been speaking to, they tell us, look, we think Ghana is the lesser evil in all of this.
I can tell you that, thank you for having me, and I want to say hello to all the guests in the house. Mm. Basically, I think this issue of power supply is not something that is new to us in Nigeria. And like you said, you called us the generator capital of Africa. You can remember during the Nations Cup, you can remember the adverts the South Africans did when we were having a match with them. I don't know if you can remember that. They were mocking Nigerians about the generator thing, you know. And basically, like the first speaker said, like Ghanaians have not really been having a good, he mentioned, in the past few weeks. And I laugh when he says in the past few weeks, because in Nigeria, it's not a thing of few weeks. It's not a thing of few months. It's not a thing of few years, you know. It's not a thing of few. It's a thing that has been here for a very long time. And it's really a threat, a menace that the federal government has been trying to tackle for a very, very long time. Let me give you an example or an insight to a recent statement credited to the Minister of Power in Nigeria. His name is Adelabu, Chief Adebayo Adelabu. He says Nigeria gets about 40,000 megawatts of electricity from generators powered by premium motor spirits, popularly called petrol, and those run by automotive gas oil, known as diesel. So if we get electricity from generators for about 40,000 megawatts, then Nigeria, with 200 million Nigerians, can only generate the power generation and supply from its national grid revolves between 3,500 megawatts and 4,500 megawatts for estimated population of 200 million people.
Wow.
So I think with this statistic, you should know the kind of suffering Nigerians are into. And just recently, I was going through something not quite long, and there's a report from Renewable Energy Association saying that the sales of solar,
yeah,
solar products, alternative to the power solar products in Nigeria, have risen by 450% between 2017 and 2022.
Wow.
So that should tell you that Nigerians are no longer depending on this power from the federal government, power from the national grid. People want to get alternative means to get power for themselves through solar energy, renewable energy, through generators and power. So it's okay. Also, I could remember just last week.
Yeah.
Just last week. Or let me just put it between that. Let me just put it between January and April. You know, the national grid has collapsed 2 times.
Mm.
You know, the national grid has collapsed 2 times. So it makes the situation worse. But like we always say, or like we know, the federal government says they are on top of the situation, trying to ensure that Nigeria gets a better deal from all the discos. And in Nigeria, you know, discos are called the distribution, the distribution companies, and we have 11 power distribution companies in Nigeria. Mm. So we're hoping to get a better deal in the coming, I won't say the coming months, I won't say the coming week, the coming years.
Quite a worrying, you know, picture you're painting for us. Elsewhere, where people rely on the national grid and, you know, rely on their solar system or their generators or plants as a backup in case there's power outage. Now you're telling us that more people are actually in Nigeria are relying on, you know, alternative sources of power. Tell me, how often do you experience power outage, you know, in Nigeria, for instance? Let's say in this week, how many times have you experienced any power outage?
Okay, now let me tell you, you know, in Nigeria, we have some big cities, the nation's capital, which is Abuja. We have the commercial nerve center of the country, Lagos. And we also have Port Harcourt, which is the oil capital. So I want to say in these three big cities, you know, the supply of the power supply there is something better than all the other federating units. You know, we have 36 states, 36 federating units in the country. So I think in these three places, at least they are a little bit better. They get out of 24 hours, sometimes they might get like 15 to 20 hours, you know. But now I want to say I live in the Federal Capital Territory, so but I'm out of the Federal Capital Territory now. I came to one of the federating units for an event, and as I'm telling you now, I'm in an hotel where I'm staying, and there's no light. That's how bad.
I was in Abuja and I experienced it. Wow.
And let me tell you why I'm saying that's how bad. In the hotel, in where I am, in the town where I am, they don't give you light during the day. Because number one, they don't get that power supply from the national grid. You know, they don't get that power supply from the government. So during the day, if there's no light from the government, then they don't put on generators, they don't put on anything. So you.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget.
Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
You get till evening when they're going to run it all night. Like, I'm here now. There's no lights. I'm waiting till they said they're going to wait till like 8 p.m. before they put on the lights.
Wow.
So that is what we're going through. So that's part of it.
Aitobi, I'll be coming to you to hear how this is affecting your work. We've heard from Pakwisi Shandof in Ghana here, who's saying that it is affecting his evangelism work because he's unable to step out at night to evangelize. When he's sleeping, he's thinking about, you know, the fact that there could be power outage at any time, and he's thinking about how he would have to go to work not ironing his clothes and all of that. Let me go to Kwesi Botchwe, who is an activist and a law enthusiast. Okay, before him, let me go to Dr. Edward Akanyamike, who is the president of the Ghana Hotels Association. Doc, thanks for connecting with us. I'm curious to know what you have in your doomsday diary. We've heard from Pakwisi, who's been sharing his. What do you have in your doomsday diary? You've also heard mine. I have doomsday PTSD, doomsday post-traumatic stress disorder.
Good evening to the micro panelists. Master, you know, let me put it in perspective, okay? We know there are various sources of electricity. And for most part of this country's life, it's been more of the national grid, which generally it's very convenient. And until recently, cost effective as well when you use it against other sources. So we've been used to the national grid as the main source of electricity. But when we had that challenge with Boomso some years back, it became obvious in Ghana that every hotel needed a generator or a plant as an alternative source of electricity. Okay, so you go to most hotels.
Yeah.
And here, you know, I represent the wide range of the hotel community from budget to five star.
Yeah.
Most of the 2 to 5 star hotels, you can be sure that they will have a standby generator. It's the few budget or some 1 star hotels who may not have it. Okay. But that's to say that most hotels have that alternative source. And that culture came from where we had that long spell of doomsday. So as a business unit, which depends a lot on electricity, the hotels are always prepared to provide that alternative source when the national grid goes off, because they cannot work without electricity. So that's how the hotels have been managing the situation. In fact, some even have that automatic switch where you may not even notice that the national grid has gone off because it switches automatically to the plant. The only disadvantage here is the higher cost of operation when you have to use the plant or the generator in terms of the extra fuel that you have to pay for and the maintenance of the plant. And for those who do not have the automatic switch, where they use the manual switch, sometimes you're in the middle of a conference in a hotel, the grid goes off, and then you would have to now go and switch on your generator. Those inconveniences. Okay, so I think the hotels generally are managing the situation well, apart from the higher cost of operation that I have mentioned earlier on. So that's what I can say by way of introduction.
Okay, great. Let me come to you, Kwesi Botchwe. Kwesi Botchwe is an activist. Kwesi, you've heard from Dr. Akanyamike talking about how hotels have now had to adjust. They have a backup, so anytime there's power outage, they switch to their plants or their solar systems and all of that. You've had a situation in Nigeria. You've heard Pakwisi Shandof sharing his own story. You've also heard mine. What is in your doomsday diary? Can you share with us?
Thank you very much, Maxwell. Good evening to yourself and to colleague panelists and to everybody listening.
fact, listening to the Nigerian narration, it seems to me that it looks as if Ghana is blessed. Because looks like we are in trouble, but others are in a mess. Personally, I think the Dumsor situation is very worrying, and it's beginning to be very terrifying and frustrating. I think we need to critically assess the situation and bring out a proper solution to this problem. But I ask myself a basic question, that this government has been able to keep our lights on, arguably, for the past 7 years. We are in an election year. So what is the challenge? We need a proper communication from our power handlers. I personally believe that the back and forth from ECG and GridCo and VIA and the Ministry of Energy is really not helping us. We need to sit behind a round table. Let's find a proper solution to this challenge. Ghanaians demand that their lights are on, irrespective of what the handlers of our power sector come to tell us. And so the ECG MD, the VRA MD, the GridCo MD, I think they should set up and up their game. We demand that our lights are on, or we demand proper explanations. But to keep everybody in a vacuum and nobody knowing what is happening, you wake up one morning, there is no light. I mean, you don't know what to do. It's very troubling. And sometimes you hear the ECG making the argument that the matter has to do with GridCo or has to do with VRA. ECG must understand that Ghanaians don't pay bills to GridCo. Ghanaians don't pay bills to VRA. We pay bills to ECG. We buy prepaid from ECG. And so we demand that when our lights are off, ECG comes out with a proper communication. I personally feel we shouldn't politicalize everything in this country. This intermittent power outages isn't a matter of politics. It isn't a matter of MPP, NDC. Because when the lights goes off, it doesn't know MPP or it doesn't know NDC. I mean, it goes off without recourse to your political affiliation. And so I think that we should all come together as a nation. Let us sit and have a clear policy dialogue on how we intend to fix our energy crisis. I am aware that this government has invested so much into the power sector, but investing so much into the power sector is almost immaterial if we are unable to keep our lights on. I am aware that the president has taken certain measures to ensure that some of the, our generations that we extend to our neighboring countries are limited so that we can generate more power to be able to care for the deficit currently going on in this country. But I think that the ECG MD must set up, the GridCo MD must set up, and all other stakeholders in the power industry must all collectively come together to make sure there is a solution to this challenge. Because, Maxwell, you agree with me that when light goes off, everybody becomes stranded. And it even has a lot of security implications. In fact, I am grateful that at least in the last 7 years, we've experienced constant power supply. We know what this government can do. We know what they've done in the last 7 years. And so we are pleading with the power handlers. This is not a matter of President Akufo-Addo or the vice president or anybody. This is a matter that has to do with the power handlers. They are the people we have entrusted our power sector into their hands and care. So we demand that they come out with a clear roadmap. I heard the chairman for the Energy and Mines Committee of Parliament, the respected and venerable Atachia, speaking to the media and saying that, I mean, he agrees to the fact that Ghanaians need a Dumsor timetable so we can be prepared. I'm sure if there is a Dumsor timetable, the trauma you've been going through, at least be managed a bit. And so I agree with the comment of the venerable Atachia that at least we need something that could guide us. And again, we need a proper communication from our power handlers and from the ECG or whoever that matters.
Okay.
So that Ghana would be able to know that at time T or X, our lights are going, lights are coming back. And if it is a, like they've told us already that there's it's localized for us, they should give us, I mean, call numbers that we can call to verify as to whether or not these are, you know, internalized problem or domestic problems and not matters affecting the whole nation. So, I mean, in conclusion, my position is that the ECG MD must set up.
Yeah.
The ECG MD must up his game because he is the, if you look at the power chain supply, It is the ECG that deals directly with the customers. And so if I light it off, we demand that the ECG gives the power. So the ECG to come out to talk to Ghanaians.
Okay. Thank you, Kwesi. But let me say that you can also join us. You can also connect with us on WhatsApp on 055-1111-997. 055-1111-997. I'll be glad to share your Doomso story from your Doomso diary. We're supposed to connect to Senatemba Dewele. He's a journalist based in South Africa. But guess what? Just when he joined us via Zoom, there was power outage where he is in South Africa, and now we are unable to establish connections, you know, with him. 2 years ago, I was in South Africa, I was in Johannesburg, and I experienced the South African Doomso. Just that there in South Africa, it is properly communicated, so you can plan and, you know, expect when the lights are going to go out and when the lights are going to come back. It seems that is what is missing here in Ghana's Doomso story. Shandoff, you heard from Kwesi Botchwe, who is saying that the people in the power supply chain have to be candid with us. They have to tell us the truth that, look, this is what is happening. And let me say that in the last 7 days, or I think just about last week or last 2 weeks, when they had that big meeting at the Alisa Hotel, where all the people in the power supply chain were summoned, you know, to that meeting by the Energy Committee, then we had the revelation and the confirmation, because then it was just rumors that what we're experiencing was actually a generation problem. The Electricity Company of Ghana had told us that it was conducting, you know, some maintenance work of some of their transformers. And after that big meeting with that energy committee, in fact, the ranking member on that committee, John Jinapo, warned that they should be candid with the people, because coming before the committee, you're going to be under oath. If you tell lies, that'll be perjury. So all of them went to that meeting and had no choice but to be truthful to us that what we are experiencing is a generation problem. We do not have the money to buy fuel to power some of our plants. So generation problem, the ECG for weeks kept telling us that it was a maintenance, you know, they were conducting some, you know, maintenance, you know, works on their transformers. How do you feel about that? As a taxpayer, you know, and there's a big situation like this, power outage at any time.
The point is,
and the person who is supposed to give you the power is not being candid with you. He's not being frank with you.
The lack of truthfulness and honesty in dealing with this matter, of course, is one of the things that I have repeatedly criticized. But then perhaps you may want to look at why it is happening that way. Don't forget that the current NPP government rode on the back of the same challenge that was persistent from 2015 thereabout, you know, to 2016, in winning that substantive 2016 election. And now we are in a time where election is approaching. If the current party, the NPP, the government of the day, admits that, okay, this is the challenge and that these are the issues, okay, I'm not trying to step in their shoes, but we should also advert our minds to the political implications.
Yeah.
You campaigned against Party A or a certain group of people. You branded them as incompetent. You characterized them as people who were not effective in office because of a particular situation. Years after, you are in the same boat. Okay, and that is why it appears that all the relevant stakeholders are not able to treat the matter with the needed honesty. But here is the point. Regardless of how much they pussyfoot the issue or the extent of as it were dishonesty, we the citizens who would eventually vote are definitely feeling the brunt. We can experience the insensitivity. We are going through the inconvenience every passing second. And that is why maybe they have to say that, look, we are going to give this thing a more nationalistic outlook. Politically, it may punch us in the face, but let's approach it nationalistically. And first of all, let's produce a timetable. After that, let's look at a more effective way. Maxwell, if it even includes bringing expertised minds from both parties, let's bring them around the table. Let's have a proper, holistic, and a comprehensive discussion on the matter.
Yeah.
Because the more we keep as it were, hiding away from it. There's a guy saying that Achuleni Bono Ojomlan no here, to wit, a blow that is inevitably yours is better received, you know, earlier and hurriedly. That, I think, should be the approach of the government. The issue is already on the table. Ghanaians are happy. The nomenclature is not even important. Whether you brand it as Dumso or Dumsisi or whatever, effectively, people like me who desire to step out at night to pray because of our love for our Master Jesus Christ, we are not able to do that. I don't know if you do evangelism, Max, or maybe you have to tell us. But yeah, otherwise I'll be coming to your community. But I'm not able to reach out to you basically because of some of these things. And it's unfortunate. So let's be honest about the situation, Maxwell.
Let's be honest about the situation, Parkway Shandoff. Nanama Boateng, let me find out from you. You do not experience, you know, Dumso in the US, but I'm sure there are instances where there could be power outage, maybe there's a hurricane, maybe there's a natural disaster and your power would be taken. How effective are, you know, the utility providers in communicating, you know, this, and how forthright are they with information? How candid are they with you with information?
I'm going to be honest. Since I have moved here, we haven't experienced anything of that nature. So I don't really know how they go about that.
Wow, wait. How many years have you been in the U.S.?
It's like about 3 years.
3 years and no power outage?
No. Not even a flicker from the bulb.
Not even a flicker from the bulb. Wow.
No.
So you can't relate with what Parkway Shandoff is saying, right?
No, I cannot.
You see the difference?
Let me find out from Eitofe. Eitofe, so a lot of us here in Ghana are complaining about how the power suppliers are actually dancing around the issue. Some days ago, we didn't know what the exact issue was. They kept telling us that you're doing maintenance work on your transformers and all of that. And just some days ago, we got to know that it was actually a generation problem. It was a generation problem. They do not have enough money to procure enough fuel to power some of our plants, to give us electricity. In Nigeria, how candid are the people in the helm of affairs with situations like this? Do they communicate effectively?
Okay, first, talking about communication, first, nobody will tell you there's going to be power outage. Nobody's going to communicate that to you. Nobody's going to tell you anything. You just wake up and find out there's no light, you know, and we used to it to go about normal businesses, you know. But the thing about the communication is this has been the government defense for a very long time, you know. They come out and say, okay, the power generation problem, they need to privatize the sector, and which they did. You know, that's what I'm talking about. Like you are talking about Dumso, we're talking about discos. It used to be NEPA, it used to be PHCN, you know, now discos, you know, transmission. Yeah. So basically, when they privatized that and gave each discos, you know, probably they are now, their own thing is about the power generation, you know. In Nigeria is a population of over 200 million, and the problem of generation has become a very serious problem. Now, let me give you an example. Yeah. Recently, when the national grid collapsed, you know, the reason why they gave was that, according to the transmission company of Nigeria, so that the system disturbance was triggered by a significant reduction in generation capacity, primarily due to gas constraints.
Yeah.
You know, that then the reduction also led to a rapid decline in system frequency, creating a sudden grid. So basically, it's about generation problem. And you know, that's why during the campaigns, you know, most of the candidates had to go to Egypt to learn how they generate their power. Because I think in Africa, Egypt is number one in terms of power generation, you know. So people go there to see how they generate, what they do, and, you know, so it's about generation, I think. But communication has been always the problem, you know. Number one, nobody's going to tell you there's going to be power outage. You just wake up and you didn't see that. And the government has always been giving us reasons why this is this. And we've been like this for years, not just for months, not for weeks, for years since I was growing up. At least I'm in my early 40s now, and since I've been on Earth, since I've been in Nigeria as a Nigerian, it's been like this.
Wow. A never-ending problem. It's time to connect with you and my colleague Michael Ashali is in the studio to tell us what you've been talking about on social media. We hear that and we connect with Dr. Edward Akanyamike and Kwesi Boche. Michael, a lot of messages, you know, coming through about Dumso, people sharing a leave from their Dumso diary. Tell us more.
Maxwell, there's a new phenomenon. You mentioned PTSD, right? People have
Dumso PTSD.
People have light anxiety.
Uh-huh.
Especially during the day when you don't hear anybody, you don't see people's light bulb outside to tell whether it's light out or not.
Yeah.
You get home and you are scared to turn on the light because you'll be just so disappointed if it's off.
I hear even now when people are going home, they no longer ask, oh, is food ready? No, Charlie, light will be here now.
A very serious situation. But let's connect with somebody from East Legon. This is Daniel, and he says, Dumso has really affected us in so many ways. Recently, I had a function to attend. To my surprise, the light went out. I had to drive to my church to iron my dress before I attended that program.
Charlie.
Daniel, sorry about that.
Charlie.
But that's the truth. Let's go to Kumasi. And Sami says, well, listening to the guy from Nigeria, he indicated that Africans have leaders who do not think outside the box. And Sami seems to agree with Ayitope on that one. Let's go to Tema. And Prof says, all the problems we go through are not due to lack of technical professional knowledge, but as a result of reckless political decisions. So this mantra that this or that should not be politicized makes no sense. It's already being politicized. Well, let's go to the UK now, Bristol. And we have this lady texting us. She says, well, I relocated to the UK as a nurse last 6 months, and my bulb hasn't blinked for a second before.
Charlie.
God save our motherland Ghana. I don't know how you put
it. She's been there for 3 years, and her bulb is yet to flicker. Hey.
Charlie, flicker there. No more.
Hey, Charlie, yet to flicker.
It means even the quality of the bulb in itself.
Charlie.
But I don't know how you put together, you're in the UK and it's good, and you won't say, God save mother Ghana. But let's go to Kaswa, the Republic of Kaswa, and says, I had light off when I was leaving for work 10 a.m. today.
Yeah.
I resumed this evening at 6:30, the light came on. Just 5 minutes ago, the light went off again.
Oh.
I'm in the darkness now, listening to you via my car. I'm really sorry about this, but I'm glad that you still chose to listen to the show. A couple more. This one is political. It's straight away. It says, the NPP government is simply insensitive to the plight of Ghanaians. Mm. We'll take them on silently in the December polls. This is from Fred Nkumasi. And then finally, this one says, your namesake, Maxwell, she says, this is Max from Madan. As we speak now, our lights are out. I mean, the doom is in the whole of Adan.
Hey!
And no notice. And these people will not humble to admit this.
Yeah. So, Max in Adan, what did they say?
Mimawodumso.
Sorry about that situation. But let me come to you, Dr. Edward Akanyamike. Thanks, Michael Ashali, with messages coming from you and connecting with us in the studio. Doc, in 30 seconds, I want to find out from you, how do we permanently resolve, you know, this issue? How do we permanently, you know, solve this problem of intermittent, you know, power supply? What do you want the people in authority to do?
Well, Maxwell, obviously, I'm no expert in energy issues, so I'll not be able to give any technical advice, except to say that whatever the NPP did in the past 7 years to keep the light on, they should look for that thing and do it to keep the power on. You see, because in this short term, as a business entity, we'll be able to manage some of the challenges that are coming up. But if this thing will prolong, it will have a long-lasting effect on the industry. because, you know, the decision to even choose Ghana as a destination will be affected. It will affect our international arrivals, and that also has implications for our quest to make tourism a major contributor to our GDP. And even the investment in the sector depends on the availability of power. Investors consider availability of power in their decision-making to invest in the country.
Sure.
So I'm just praying that this thing will be resolved and resolved as quickly as possible. So we don't get into some of these issues that I'm bringing up.
Thank you very much, Doc. Now to Pakwisi, stand off in the studio. Pakwisi, you have 15 seconds. Yeah.
Right. So in dealing with the issue, I'll just reiterate the points I articulated earlier, that we need to approach the matter with a lot of honesty.
Okay.
The pussyfooting must stop, and we must approach the matter in a more holistic fashion, devoid of the political colorization. If we are able to do that, maybe things will just be better. Just
okay.
Maybe.
Okay. Are you prepared? 30 seconds, 10 seconds.
I hope, we're Africans, and we hope we can have that experience, like Nana Amaboteng said, where in 3 years the bulb has not flickered. We're hoping to see that, and we're hoping to see the genuineness, the sincerity in our leaders, in the federal government, and in the politicians who are our leaders, to ensure that this thing has been
Okay, thanks so much. I have this one here coming from Kwesi says, good evening, Maxwell. The whole of Kasua has gone off some minutes ago, and I have similar messages coming through from different parts of the country. I think at this point it's just right to end with this song. Yes, we are the survivors, and you hear the survivors on Ghana Connect, connecting with us from the US. Nana Mabuaten, she's Ghanaian and now living in the US. Thanks so much for joining us. You heard Pakwisi Shandoff, he's a journalist and editor at Wesleyan TV. You heard Ayitope Kuti, he's a Nigerian journalist based in Nigeria. You also heard Dr. Edward Akanyamike Jr., president of the Ghana Hotels Association. You heard Kwesi Bochu, who's an activist and a law enthusiast. Sinetemba Dwili is a journalist based in South Africa, but couldn't join us because of power outage in South Africa. And that's how we end the conversation. I'm sure you'll be continuing the conversation in your homes. My name is Maxwell Agbagba. Up next is the man, Andy Dusty, with the library. Bye-bye.